God, how ridiculous is it that you allow sinful, broken men and women into your kingdom, and then not only into your kingdom, Lord, but you allow us, Lord Jesus, to be used by you for the furthering of that kingdom. God, who are we to write worship songs? who are we to sit here and act like we know what we're doing? Who am I to sit up here and preach, Lord Jesus, and to handle your holy scriptures, which are infallible and without error and beautiful and for correcting and teaching and showing a man a way to go and how to raise his children, Lord Jesus, and how to live a life, Lord God, that is following you. And it's the story of our hope. Who are we? Lord, I don't understand your ways. Lord, your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. But Lord, you are such a God of love that you included us in on this. There's not a person in here, Lord, today that has out-sinned your grace. Lord, there's freedom in you. And so, Lord Jesus, we just thank you, God. Lord, we live in a world where there's a lot of mixed messages over what it is to be a follower of Jesus, God. You're either some nice teacher with good morals that's kind of like Buddha, Lord Jesus. You're one of the many ways to God. And Lord, we know that none of that is true. We know that you are the God of the ages. You are God in the flesh, brought here, crucified, died for sinful men and women because of a bill I couldn't pay. I could never pay. And so, Lord, we walk in grace. We walk in freedom. And Lord, we want to be your representatives, Lord, in this earth, that there is legitimate, real followers of Jesus. The church is alive and well, even though there are many parts of it that are broken. But Lord, your kingdom does not end. It is not weak. It's not in trouble. We're not in fear of fading out someday. We'll reign with you forever. And so, Lord, we just pray through your word this morning and through the things you've laid on my heart, God, that we would continue to grow, that people that are in darkness would be made into light. And Lord Jesus, you would just take control of our service, God. We just ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, a few things to talk about this morning. Number one is we are continuing on in our series called Revolutionary Love. Everybody say revolutionary. Revolutionary Love. This is, like it says, our fifth week, but we've stretched it out because we had Easter. For me, this is threefold for us. When we talk about and we read through the scriptures, and I know people are like, oh, another love sermon, great. Jesus is love, God is love, we need to love people. Fantastic. Give me something deeper. And I'm saying there is nothing deeper. There's nothing deeper on the face of the earth than the love of God, us loving one another, and us sharing the love of Jesus with the world. There is nothing more important than that scripturally. We know what the scriptures say. We've been reading in the book of Mark. It says, and one of the scribes came up and heard him disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and all your mind and all of your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And so we've talked about that in a section. We've covered that is called the Great Commandment. And for those of you who've never heard that before, and so the Great Commandment is this. These guys, these Pharisees, scribes, and religious leaders are trying to nail Jesus to the wall by getting him to say which one of these 636 rules that they had come up with along with some of the God created, which one of these is more important, because they were looking to crucify him. And so they were looking to find him guilty of something. And so he answers exactly the way that it went back into the Old Testament, and he says, listen, the number one thing you can do is love God with everything you have. Number one, the most important thing on the face of the earth for you to do, believer, what is my purpose? Stop thinking too much. Read the Word. Is love him with everything you have. And we've talked about that for 4 weeks. We'll continue to talk about it till the day we're not here anymore and Jesus takes us up in the clouds, whatever. And then he moves on and he says this other part, and he says, after loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as you would love yourself. And he says, there is no greater commandment anywhere. And so there's two things. Number one is loving God. By the way, nobody who is not loving God and in love with God impresses the warriors of darkness at all. People who would love God are people that you see that are true, that are people that are know they're not perfect, they have Jesus, but they're not snotty, it's not about a bumper sticker, it's not about any of that. These are people that are literally changed because of the love of God. The love of God compels us to change. The love of God is a sacrificial, unending, super-duper-sized superhero, this is lame kind of love, right? And so God's love encompasses us, and the scriptures say it's a free gift. It's something that every single one of us have access to through the kingdom of God. By the way, believers and unbelievers, it's twofold. Believers are sons and daughters, and then people who are created that are not believers are walking in the love of God because He has chosen to give them an opportunity to answer and stay away from wrath and be free. And so there's love accessible for everybody on the face of the earth. Every person in ISIS this morning who's getting up and plotting my demise has an opportunity to know Jesus and be set free by the power of the gospel and put down his guns and lift up his cross. Every single person on the face of the earth. You say, well, that sucks, we're American. No, you're a child of God first. You are a creation of God first. American is great. We have so many freedoms, but we're Christians. We want them, scripturally, we're supposed to want them to be free and walking in the love of God. What is more, what is better when it comes to world change if terrorists and people who hate us would kill us all, or we murder every single one of them, man, woman, and child, we just take them out, blood is all over the desert, or the power of God falls on them, missionaries invade, and churches blow up, and they're all singing praises to God? That's an easy question. The answer is number two is the correct answer you need to fill in with your little number two pencil, right? And so we know that it's God's desire for everyone on the face of the earth to experience His love. So moving on, now we're moving, since we've talked about the love of God and we've all mastered it, right? Look at your neighbor and say, I've mastered this love God thing. Okay. Now moving on, we're moving on to the second part of that, and that's the second part of this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment greater than these. And so this is in two parts for us. We split this up. And the first part of loving others as we would love ourselves begins with His church, His people. There is a strange imbalance in the world of believers. We know that we're supposed to love the Lord, and we know we're supposed to love one another, or we assume we're supposed to love one another, and then love the lost. And so there's this weird paradigm where people battle with this. They're either all into Jesus and I want to feel Him, and that is their whole world. And then they couldn't care less about loving on anybody else within the community of faith, and they really don't share the gospel with anybody. Then there's people that maybe you're touched by one and three, and so they're down with loving God and they're down with loving the lost, but they completely neglect the middle. And that is, loving God's people are an absolute commandment. By the way, Scripture's clear that we take care of each other first. When Jesus says things like, you will be known as my disciples by the way you love one another, there is huge implications for that, because how we literally get along in here, and we've preached about this on the past, but how we love one another, and we'll talk about this in a minute, I'm going to repeat myself 12 times, I know you're used to that, is that shows that God reigns and that Jesus is ours by how we love one another. And so you'll find all throughout the Scriptures where the church was donating and giving money not just for benevolence, but to support other churches so that they would be supported and people within the church would have their needs met. Acts 2 talks about the first church ever, that they devoted themselves to the Scriptures, the apostles' teachings, and their prayer, and to breaking of bread, and they made sure that nobody went without. And so today, as we think about what have churches become and where they are, the only thing I'm going to say is, where are we as far as when we love each other? Are we loving each other with this powerful, Spirit-filled love of Jesus? And again, people check out on this stuff, and I don't think you get it, because the love of God that works through His people in the church, and I know a bunch of you have asked me, I like being here, but I really don't know what the purpose of the church is. The church is the loving arms of God existing on the face of the earth. This is where the Lord meets with His people. You want to talk about, this is why when you get into things like shopping around all the time and never coming under submission, any leadership, because you have submission problems, all of these kind of things, you miss out on the blessing of what church is supposed to be. It's not an entertainment game. I get it that we want to entertain people so they'll come and stay, but does it really produce that kind of fruit? The point is that we are the body of Christ. This is where God's love manifests itself, with how we treat one another. When He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, it wasn't just that His Spirit was with us. God, thank you, He's always with us. But that He's in His people with us, loving on one another in the face of the earth. I would not be here in my faith, standing alive today, without the body. We've been through horrible times. You know my big sob story. Our marriage was ending. There was an affair, and we lost a baby, and all of these things manifested themselves. I was angry at church, ticked off. We've been through horrible things in walking in through this church with angry people and nasty people, and the only people who were there that showed me the love of Jesus were the people that are sitting in this room, i.e. why I'm standing here. Amen? And my deepest prayer for us is that this is almost do or die for us as a church, and I don't want to say that like I'm being morbid, like we're on the verge of not being a church. What I'm saying is, what kind of church do we want to be? And so here's what doesn't work for us. We're not really good at putting on a good show and entertaining people. See? Things like that happen a lot. And so we only have a few things working in our basket, and the thing that's working for us, and this is a blessing, is that we love Jesus and we just want him to reign. And we want to do church the way he wants us to do church. And we don't have an issue with anybody else. There are amazing churches all over the place. For us, we want to take this commandment seriously. We want to love God with everything we have, because we know when we love him with everything we have, we're set free. We're made new. It's not a decision made one time. It's a lifestyle of learning how to love him, and there's grace. And number two, we want to love each other, because what are so many... I'm not impressed by knucklehead kids who walk down here angry at the world and acting tough and I don't care about Jesus, stupid, all that stuff. I'm not impressed by it, because what they need is love. That is what we're going to get down to, the brass tacks of what is every addict missing? Every addict is missing something in their heart that is not full and complete because they have brokenness. The answer to that is Jesus, and it's manifested itself in his church. We are the ones that go in and grab onto people in their darkest hour and show them the love of Jesus. I.e., God is with them in spirit, but he's not just with them in spirit, he's with them physically in us. That is God's movement throughout the earth. The answer to healthcare, the answer to welfare, the answer to single mamas, the answer to disease and abortion is God's church loving people the way he loved people. It's not legislation. It's not angry protesting. It's not churches being bigger and having more budget. It's God's people being Jesus to people. And it starts in here. And this is one of the greatest commandments, and that we are supposed to love one another. And the question is, if I was going to ask myself over the years and ask myself now, how am I loving people in this room? And not just loving people. Everybody say loving people. I clearly can do that much better than you. So I was trying to think of a few reasons last night of why we disconnect and why we battle with loving. The question is, why do we battle loving one another? And number one, a lot of us are disconnected. A lot of us are believers that have been disconnected. Maybe you're having a hard time with the Lord, but a lot of it comes from your background. Maybe you were showed horrible love when you were little, and people gave you conditional love, and your whole life is built around that. So now just because you have Jesus and you have the Spirit, there's still work to be done. That is called healing and learning how to feel God's love and receive God's love and then give it back and then give it out to other people. So a lot of us are disconnected or don't know what it is to feel love. God wants to show us that. Another one is too much self-focus. Hello? Too much self-focus. Focus. This is the problem with preachers and teachers and radio programs telling you that it's all about focus on your family, all about focus on your finances, all about focus on how to discipline your children. It's not. The focus through the kingdom of God, first and foremost, is his glory, his name, his exaltation, and then he works it down from there. He is number one. And so as we focus on ourselves more and more, think about how busy you are. Any of you, think about how busy you are and how does that take you out of loving on people for the kingdom of God. What would happen if, is it be possible through Jesus' name, if he was going to sit down with you today and look at your schedule and say, okay, Jared, oh, you're a bad example. Andy, no, never mind, you're a bad example. Joey, if you were going to look at my schedule and the Lord was going to sit down and tear into that, where's my focus? What does my time point to? It doesn't mean I have to sit there in prayer all day on my face and not go to work because I'm spending time with Jesus. It means when I'm going, is he with me? Am I with him? Are we doing this thing together? Am I doing the things that I'm doing for his glory and for his name? A couple other things. It stopped being a priority. Part of this love game is that it's on purpose. We know that if you read through Corinthians, and we're going to talk about next week, that love is not a feeling and emotion. Love is action, right? Everybody say action. 13:4-8. We know this. You should all be able to recite these. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That's like the feel-good marriage verse, right? Love is patient! And then y'all get on the plane for your honeymoon and you're throwing down between there and the hotel room, right? Anybody? No, nobody knows what I'm talking about in here, right? You are all frolicking like does in a field for your first year, right? And then, boom, reality hits you, maybe? We didn't even get married first before reality hit us. That's how it worked in my house. But love is an action. And so if love is an action, the scriptures just say love is an action, is that it comes down to this, is that I got to be purposeful. When I wake up every day, when I'm in my prayer time with the Lord, and hopefully we're there doing prayer time, I have to think about, okay, today I need to purposely love on my wife on purpose. Because if not, what happens? I need to purposely today invest love into my children. When I'm at church today, I need to not like be in pastor mode and do A, B, and C and then run out the back door because I'm tired and I want to go home and take a nap, which is usually what happens. I want to invest in people. It takes me being on purpose on loving on people. People perish because God's people use their schedules flippantly and not on purpose. And so in here, this is why we're always talking like, hey, pay attention to somebody that's in here. Who in here today is walking out without anybody loving on them? And does it happen from time to time? Yeah, and isn't it funny how we always try to hit those people all the time, and then the one time it doesn't happen, we get blown up on email? That's a long story, isn't it? Anyway, not talking about that. But here's the thing, is that this thing is fueled by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Number one on the face of the earth, the fruit, the stuff that comes out of us because we love Jesus, is we love. And so two things. Number one, praise God that He helps us. Number two, it means that this is a supernatural thing. Love on me. Grant love on me exactly the way you're supposed to on your own strength. Never mind my smells. Never mind the stupid things I say. Never mind my addictions. Never mind any of that stuff. Never mind how I say dumb things and y'all have to call me to your house in the middle of the week to talk about them. Never mind any of that stuff, right? Any of you in this room, just love me the way that God lines out. Do all those things to me without the power of the Holy Spirit on your own strength. You can't give me the benefit of the doubt on taking this personally, right? And so we've talked about that before, but put your name in all of those things. Rob is patient. Nope. Rob is kind. Depends. Rob does not boast or envy, not out loud anyway. Rob is not arrogant or rude. Don't ask my children. Rob does not insist on his own way. Yeah, right. Rob is not irritable or resentful. Depends on what time of day. Rob doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. He rejoices in the truth, not all the time. Rob bears all things. Rob believes all things. He hopes all things. He endures all things. Rob's love never ends for anybody. This is a supernatural thing. Do you know that the church is a supernatural community of God? That we are literally here in the midst, filled with God's presence and His Holy Spirit. This is where miracles happen. How many of you have been touched by God's Spirit through the church and your life has changed one way or another? Just raise your hand. Felicia, put your hand up higher. All right. Don't you be bashful, girl. We're working on this. So here's the big idea today as we go through some of these points is that loving one another has amazing power and purpose, and we have to love each other on purpose. Amen? Here are a few of the things that I come across in the scriptures today that I want you to know about what is powerful and purposeful in loving one another. Number one, loving one another is powerful and has purpose because it is absolutely from overflow of my salvation. Now listen, 1 Peter 1:22-23. So this loving each other thing is a overflow of my salvation. What is salvation? I was a sinner. I once was blind. Now I see. I was a captive. Now I'm set free. This isn't just temporary. This is why an understanding of the gospel fuels love in the church, because you are completely set free in Jesus Christ. And from that place, that's where we love one another. Amen? So I found this cool verse in 1 Peter 1:22-23. And I'm going to tear through a bunch of these today so you can just follow me or not. But listen to what this says. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, listen, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Listen, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And then verse 23 says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the abiding word of God. There's an equation. Listen to me. The first part of that says, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So I'm supposed to love you in earnest with deep zeal from a pure heart. Now, what does it mean to have a pure heart? How many of you have a pure heart? That's the point, is that you have a pure heart only through Jesus. And so we've been touched by the kingdom. We've been touched by God. My wicked heart, I mean, if you knew me 15, 20 years ago, you wouldn't recognize me. And you wouldn't, you know, maybe on the outside, because I've always been this good looking, which is a curse. But on the inside, man, I was a man of hatred and worry and anger and spit and bile. I was one of those guys that smoked 2 packs a day. And if you told me to not smoke, I would blow smoke in your face. Only the hottest mama on the face of the earth could get me to quit smoking. Amen? And even that I had to question. I said, girl, I got to think about this. I'll call you back in a couple weeks. That is not true. I said, yes, ma'am. So anyway, love earnestly with a pure heart. So love one another earnestly in a pure heart. That's only through Jesus. And the second part of that equation is since. This is how. Since you've been born again. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. The root is here is that you're new. The only motivation to love somebody, listen to me, this is so clear. The only motivation to love somebody on the face of the earth in Christ Jesus is because of Him. It's because of Him. And this is so backwards to me because I want to love people conditionally. I was given absolute conditional love as a kid. My mama loved me, I know she did, but there was always, yeah, but I would really, if you would just, but, I would, but. There were always buts at the end of this thing. My dad wouldn't engage. My stepdads were either drunks or manic depressives. They couldn't engage to save their life because they didn't have daddies that could engage and do anything in their life. And I was just lost in frolicking. But the motivation for me to love people isn't any of my issues and baggage. My motivation now is that I've been set free by the love of Jesus. And so it makes things like when we read in the scriptures, and by the way, imagine if Jesus loved us on emotion while he was here. If Jesus just loved people by his reaction to their ignorance and their reactions. Think about it. Did Jesus ever get mad in the New Testament, by the way? Yeah, the scriptures say he snorts with anger in John 11 and John 12 when he's talking about Lazarus being raised from the grave. He snorts. He's mad. He asked them, he's like, how on earth, how long do I have to be here with you before you figure out what I'm trying to tell you, right? This is from the Message Bible version, by the way, right? And so anyway, he gets frustrated. Imagine if he reacted and gave us love in our salvation versus what we have given to other people and what we give to him. Here's a problem for us. And the beautiful thing is that I'm supposed to love people out of his motivation, not mine. So that's very hard for me because it means I have to really, 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 really get over myself and be healed. So when we read other texts in the Bible, it says this, Matthew 5, 43 through 48 says, you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What on earth is he talking about? Listen, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on evil and on good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do you not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let's just stop playing. Think about loving people, and then you have your list of people that are easy to love. How many of you have a list of people that are easy to love? Some of you? There's just some people I love. I love hanging out with them, and then there. Let's talk about the other list. Let's just leave them over there because the scripture says, yeah, good, big deal. A horse could love on them. That's not what he said, but that's just my version. And so there's nice people like this, Brett. Brett is easy to love, right?
Amen.
Brett is easy to love, baby. But this just said your enemies and people that hate you. Now think about that for a second. Now please, just dive into this. Is it an ex? Is it a parent? Is it friends, family have turned their back on you? Maybe someone who sexually abused you or physically abused you or physically neglected you. I'm talking about all of us in here. Think about that. The scriptures are clear. And this is why this is a Holy Spirit thing that God and God alone can do in us, but we have to be proactive about. He says, love them. Pray for people who persecuted you. Pray for people who have done damage to you. Why would he say that? Maybe he just doesn't understand. Maybe God just doesn't understand that we really hate people and we really... How many of you legitimately can say, just to be honest in here, that there have been people in your life that you hate? You have thought about seeing them dead. Matter of fact, you have probably thought a little bit too much about seeing them dead. And by the way, scriptures say if you even hate your brother, you've committed murder. but the reality is that sometimes some of the greatest healing only comes through the worst pits of brokenness in your heart. And so God's glory and his perspective is this. How on earth, God, do I forgive somebody who was cruel to me? And he said, well, guess what? I did. Guess what? I'm the only righteous one ever on the face of the earth. Me, my Son, the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The scriptures say he died for everybody on the face of the earth who would turn there and bow to them. So that's everybody. That's guys who struggle with porn, and that's guys and gals who deal with infidelity in their marriage, and it also deals with murderers, and it also deals with abusers, and it also deals with everybody on the face of the earth. It doesn't disqualify anybody in the scriptures. I keep waiting. Maybe the Message version has it, that if we can read through the Bible where it says you're supposed to love those who persecute you, love your enemies, except for, and then there's a little fill-in-the-blank slot, where you get to put in five names and you get free on those five names. Does anybody have that Bible translation, by the way? Huh? You would write yourself? You wrote it yourself. Our worship leader just said he rewrote the scriptures. We'll be looking for a new worship leader today. If any of you are interested in trying out after church, we would love to do that. See, here's the deal. The power is... the people that have hurt us no longer have power over us because we're free. Amen? Is God twisted or we just have this wrong? When we forgive other people and when we show love to people, and it doesn't mean you have to walk up to a man who sexually abused you and wrap your arms around him and say, hey, you're awesome! But it means that we pray for our enemies. We wish the love of God on them because I'm telling you, no matter what they did, God's wrath is not something that, believe it or not, that you want to wish on them. Because you were spared from the same wrath and you were guilty of the same thing they were. Take away the name of the substance of what it was. The core was sin. You have been forgiven, set free. God has forgiven you. And the scriptures say, if you don't forgive, if you don't let people free, it's a measure of our own salvation. Now, is this an overnight thing? Right now you go, hey! I choose to forgive and love every dope that I couldn't stand in the face of the earth. No, it's a process, but are you on the road and purposely, not just saying you're on the road and then spitting hate at them every chance you get, but are you walking in a place where you want to literally have Lord change your heart and give them love, even if they're dead? It's possible. Amen? And so loving one another is from our salvation, and it is not easy. Listen, 1 John 4:7-11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And in this love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son for propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us, we also ought to love one another. Everybody say this with me. We love people on His merit, not theirs. Anybody else in here proclaim that they need the Holy Spirit to help them? But here's the thing. Is this? I know, and then we all put our hands up, and I'm doing the same thing, because there are people there's a certain man in our life that I wanted to murder. I thought about going to his home with a shotgun and taking his life. And he knows it. I told him so. How on earth do I deal with that? It only comes through God setting us free and doing that. But the point is, it's like, imagine in this room, just imagine just on this point alone, is that if all of us in here were to be set free today of hatred for people and we would actually love them, what on earth, just with that one point alone, think about your own life. Think about people that hold you captive because what they did in the past and what they did to you in the middle of the night or things they said that broke your heart. Think about that gone. What would change? How many addictions would be gone today? How many abusive relationships would be over? How many battles with our sexuality would be set free? How many relationships that are toxic would end? I know, thinking, good question, right? Here's another one. Loving one another is a command of our Lord. And I love when I use language like that because everybody just pups right up, right? Loving one another is a command of our Lord. And whenever we hear, how many of you are rebellious spirits in here? Anybody? We have a few rebellious spirits. You're half liars. Come on, we're all rebellious. And so when we listen to that, so why on earth would I say something like, loving one another is a command of Jesus, and we all just go, woo, I just want to obey. Let me read you a few things. Number one, 1 John 3:23, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we love one another just as he has commanded us. John 15, 12 through 13, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Why is that so key in obedience as we read through the scriptures earlier? 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God. This is how we love him, that we keep his commands and his commandments are not burdensome. And so here's a new heart. I used to read commandment verses. How many of you, when you came into church, were all like, well, Jesus is all about being a Christian is all about the things I can't do. And if I become a believer, I can no longer ever see a beautiful woman in my life. I can no longer enjoy things like drink, and we know that the old SEX thing is right out the window because we know that when you become a believer, sex becomes bad. That is all born out of a rebellious heart. I know that was awkward. But think, isn't that the mindset of people who think that coming in and selling in and being a believer, a real believer, not just somebody that shows up at church on Sunday, is that as soon as you become a believer, now we fall under Commandmentville. And I'm only going to live in Commandmentville. And I'm going to walk around in persecution of God's holy commands. And it does nothing to do with that perspective. The perspective is that first and foremost in Him, we have love and new life. And we have freedom. And we have joy. And we have fulfillment. All of the do-nots are better in His kingdom. The reason why He tells us not to do A, B, and C is not because he's spiteful and sitting in heaven going, ha, 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 you can't enjoy another person ever again, you fool. Heaven is your home. That is not how it goes. It's because sex his way is better. Love his way is better. And I don't just mean better where da-da-da-da, but it's literally something better ingrained in us because it's what you're created for. And when you live in God's rules, they are in him for your good. They're for your betterment. And so when we say no to the world and yes to him, it's not just like, God, I hope you mark that one down. I hope I get a jewel for that one. It's the point is that this is that we get set free when we say no to the flesh. Is it easy? No, but he's my heavenly father. He's the one real, true father I've ever had. I want to obey him. I want to obey him. I want to show him that I love him, not to get his love, but I know that he lavishes it good. Yesterday, Naomi and the Yarnells were over at our house, and what's her face? What's your daughter's name? Yeah, that one. Ariana. Sorry, Ari. Ari had these babies she was watching, and Ari and Naomi came over, and she said, did your baby? You know, she talks like that. Don't you dare make fun of that child. He said, this your baby? And she's like, yeah. And Ari said, this is a little boy I'm watching. And she said, she's like, you bad? She goes, I'm my daddy's baby. And so, you know, I'm over there going, but there's something weird with Naomi is that she's got a little bit of a rebellious heart, lo and behold. But there's something when it comes down to me getting on her, she just crumbles because she wants to do things to show that she loves me, that she wants to listen. It breaks her heart when I raise my voice. And so when it comes to our relationship with our father, it's the same way. The only reason it's like that is because Naomi knows I love her. Naomi knows I'm there to help pick her up. Naomi knows that I adore her. And it's the same in our relationship with Jesus, is that he is always there. He adores us. He is longing for us. And so we want to obey and do what he asks because it pleases him. It brings him glory. And in the end, it's for our good. And so when I say no to this relationship and maybe walk just with him and him alone for a while, guess what? He sustains me. And he has a better plan for me on the flip side. Amen? I know you're tired of me. Here's another one. I love this, and this kind of hit me last night in an epiphany. Maybe it's just lack of oxygen. Loving one another should cause us to dig deeper onto how Jesus loved. Now, in John 13:34, this was Johnton. You have your own Bible, Johnson. John chapter 13, verse 34. Listen to this. A new command I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. I just stopped and I added this as a point, was that, listen to that. A new command I give you, love one another just as I have loved you. That makes me ask the question, and it sounds kind of simple, but how did he live? How did he love? Here's the beautiful thing, is that I don't need to rewrite how to love people. You know how I can love my wife? As I can study the Word of God and who Jesus is, and who Jesus and how Jesus loved people, and I can make that my anchor. Amen? So when I think about it, when I read through the Scriptures, I just don't read about how Jesus loved some guys and he so loved the world. But as a believer now that I am completely interested in pleasing him because he's my Father, I can watch. And now when I read the Scriptures, this is why we do the SOS thing. What does the Scripture say? How can I obey? And how can I share it? Because if you don't know what the Scriptures are saying, why pay attention to Jesus? Because Jesus, why do you think Jesus came here for? To hang out with people who were going to deny him and to be crucified for fun? If that was the issue, he could have just came, been crucified, not dealt with people for 3 years that frustrated him. But he came as an example, as a witness to his followers. Do these things as I have done unto you. Love each other as I have loved you. So when I read the Scriptures, it's not just this dry story about Jesus. It is, man, that is how the Lord loves me. And this is how I want to love my wife. And so when I get up in the morning, when I love my wife, I don't have to put on what K-Love says. I don't have to put on with the 5 steps to the 16 points, the 4-part marriage thing. What I can do, and those things are helpful if they point to those points. But you know how I need to love my wife? I need to be sacrificial for her. I need to lay down my position for her. I need to speak to her, whether she's right or wrong, in words that are respectful and out of love and out of appreciation. I need to sacrifice my stuff so she can succeed. That's how I love my wife. That's how I should love my wife. You sit down and don't get up and grab the mic. And so it's a gift to me because I get to study the life of Christ. And the other part of that verse in verse 35 says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We talked about this. You know what's great is that people can argue all day long about Scripture. People can argue all day long, well, Jesus was just a good teacher, but you know what they can argue against? God's people loving the way Jesus does. Think about it. How can someone argue over men and women who lay down their lives, pay the bill, take people into their homes, forgive wives that have cheated on them, forgive husbands that have cheated on them, walked in grace and love, can sit there and open arms and doors waiting on rebellious, prodigal children to come home with open hearts. Tell me how that kind of love anybody can argue with. Nobody can argue with that. When we love one another, it is a reflection of who Jesus is to the world and to one another. Some of you need to see the love of Jesus brought out by people in this room because you don't know what it's like. Most of us don't know what it's like. And when it's manifested, when someone in this room that I don't have to tell goes over and hits somebody's groceries and takes care of their kids and cries with the mother in the middle of the night when she's broken and lonely or somebody has died and the body of Christ jumps in there, you can't wish for better publicity, right? Because it's all about Jesus. People engage and it reflects who we follow. And so this is why I have a hard time, and I don't want to, by politically driven conservative Christianism. I'm a conservative guy. I believe that abortion is wrong. I believe that all these things that we believe in, and I believe in the Second Amendment, which God, I'm sure it's in the scripture somewhere, right? Okay, and so I believe in all those things, but how on earth is me shoving them, ramming them, protesting them out, really showing the love of Jesus? I'm just, people disagree with me all day long. I don't care. What I'm saying is, I think if there are churches built for that, good. Our church should be built for the underground love of Jesus movement that changes the heart of a woman going for an abortion. I want to love her. I want her to know that she's not a mistake, that she's not just some idiot who screwed up and didn't use protection, or she's in the middle of this bad relationship. What if the love of Jesus penetrated her heart? It's a reflection of Christ when we love each other that way. That's why this loving each other thing is so desperately needed for our church. I don't want to become a program anything. I want our program to become the love of God and loving people. That's it. When people come here, they should know that the love of God reigns, because the love of His people for one another and for people outside is so prominent and so purposeful and so big that people can argue all they want while they're being loved. Understand what I'm saying? This is the mission of the church. This is the arm of Jesus to the broken and to His people. God's arms wrap Himself around you in the confines of His church. This is where we love one another. This is where we feel the love of God. But it doesn't happen when everybody counts on the pastor and elders to do it. That's why I love this place, is that more and more and more and more of you are engaging in ways that are supposed to be the church. And this is my deepest prayer for why we're even talking about this whole series, is that I don't want to be here anymore without this. I don't want this to be where I get a crossroads. I told our leadership team yesterday, we're at a crossroads. We are either going to become a place that wants to grow and have people here, and we've got a food bank and a clothes closet and the medical clinic, and we have those things, or we actually become and continue to be, and generation after generation after generation will love even more than we do, and we will touch people so deeply because what we do, when you leave here, the mission is you. When you are going to work, you are the one that's the light of Christ, and we are the hands of Jesus for each other in this room. You have a broken need. Number one, you need to be open enough to share it with somebody, and the rest of us need to jump on it. This is where God manifests His hands for one another. We are to love one another like He loves us. This changes the world. This grows churches. This is why. And if there's something out of the way that is causing us, this is why, for some of you who are asking, we're not doing a missions trip this year. I love going to Dallas. It's easy to cancel something that doesn't work. But this is a tremendous blessing. We saw 12 people give their lives to the Lord last year. We saw church planters uplifted and edified, and churches grow, and there was money given. People were changed. How on earth would I want to walk away from that? The point is this, is that mission has to be overflow. There's a neighborhood here that I think in a lot of ways we neglect. And there are people in this room who need to be loved deeper. And so through prayer and trying to feel where God is, and these aren't bad things. Yesterday I told our leadership team, they're the most faithful people I know. People sitting in this church, you are some of the most faithful people I've ever met in my life. You sacrifice and you serve and you have your kids serving, and those are amazing things. But the tragedy in that was that we would use what we do to be something that would stop us from growing more. You hear what I'm saying? There's another level. We could take it further. We can finish well. We can love people and not become so driven by what it is to be like another church that's big. Man, imagine 100 small restores that could love each other like Jesus to the nations everywhere and anywhere we go. What kind of impact could that have? What kind of impact has it had? I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying this has to be our priority. This is the flag and the hill we will die on. This one. If 12 of you show up next week, I'm serious. If 12 of you show up, this won't change. This is our call. We were called to touch and heal through the name of Jesus broken people. It only happens by God's love. And by the way, it only reproduces itself through unsaved people for generations and generations. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that later. All right, you guys ready for the second part of the sermon? I'll stop. I was thinking about this. That this love thing is a huge litmus test for my faith. It's a huge litmus test for my faith. There's scripture over and over and over again. Listen to these. 1 John 3:10. By this is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. There's no excerpt verse. There's no sidebar verse. It just said those who do not love their brother is of the devil. I can't get around that. That is not a Secret Service friendly text, right? We're not going to grow the church on that, right? Guess what, everybody? If you're not loving your brother, you're going to hell. I can see that on banners, right? Handout cards, get it in the mail. Look, honey, we're going to hell, right? We're going to church this Sunday. Bring the kids. They have a whole kids ministry dedicated on how you're going to hell. That doesn't save, it doesn't tweak anybody's heart, is what I should say. But this is a litmus test for me. Either two things are going on in my life. Either I am not saved, and I don't have the love of Jesus in me to reach people, and I need to pray for God to open my heart. Or number two is that I have walked away for some reason. I have walked away from what He has called me to. How am I loving her? How am I loving you? It goes on over and over again. 1 John 3:14 and 15. We know that we have, listen to this, this is crazy. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. This is proof. That's what the scripture just said. It is proof to us. I know that I am saved and redeemed. I've passed out of the darkness I was into, and now I'm in the light because of how we love one another, how I love you, and how I love you, and you, and you. And it doesn't mean it's perfect. It doesn't mean it's banging on all cylinders all the time, but it is the desire of my heart to love you. I mean, love you unconditionally. Love you no matter what happens, because you're stinky. You're sinners. You're broken. And none of that stuff. There are people outside of the church that used to be here that I can't stand. They just badgered us and plagiarized us and said this and that, called us this and that. And you talk about old me, I want to punch them in the face in Jesus' name, right? Did somebody find me that scripture? If they walked in the door right now, guess what? My only command from Jesus is to completely love them, forgive them. By the way, think about when you think about how many of you have been perfect in the church since day one. You know where we see the most fruit? Is if someone acts like what's the scriptural name? Doofus, coming, rebel, fight, get angry, leave, talk smack, and then all of a sudden tragedy happens, God breaks their heart open, and they're back in the church, and they are amazed by God's forgiveness that worked through people in the church, because that is God's heart. That is a part of what we do. Do you imagine if we quit loving everybody the first time they were a doofus? Imagine your relationship with Jesus. I know this isn't good, proper talk, but imagine every time you screwed up, God stopped loving you. He doesn't. So why on the earth could the church? You know what's better for me is that they all stay away. You know what's better for the kingdom is that they all come back and we all worship Him forever. Amen? Man, I don't like that part. But I know in my spirit it's what I need. The scripture says this, 1 Corinthians 12:26. When one member suffers, we all suffer together. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. Here's the cool thing about loving one another is loneliness is defeated when we love one another. Widows are loved and taken care of when we love one another. Addicts have people who love them regardless of what they do and how they've done. Single mamas get the love they needed. Kids without fathers or mothers receive the love that they need. people finally learned. I didn't know what love was till I saw the church. I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about church. You guys. The only people that were at my door on the night my wife and I's marriage was over was the church. Matter of fact, a lot of church people wouldn't even talk to us anymore. Just the true church. And these guys lost a baby. Only people that was at their door was the church. Nicole too, she said. When Nicole was served divorce papers, the people that were there were who? My question is, why on earth would we want to stop that? Here's my challenge to us today is just to ask yourself this question as we end. It's like, how am I loving? And by the way, if you're ticked off at the church and you haven't been loved well, come tell me. How on earth can I know that you need love if you keep walking out the door being ticked off all the time? Guess what? That is of the devil. That is not his plan. That's not God's plan, excuse me. If you are angry and you need reconciliation with the church, come on. Let's argue about it. Let's fight. Let's hug each other. Let's hug it out. This is what I'm saying. It's not God's heart for you to be mad at his church and pastors. If you're mad at a pastor because he was human, guess what? I'm a human. The other guys were human. It's the devil's ploy to keep getting you to walk in hatred and not love. And so if you are lonely, if you are battling, if you are, you have to see this. This isn't one of those messages where you feel good in your spirit and go, yay, Jesus. This is something that convicts all of us and says, man, he loves me so unconditionally. How am I loving on other people? Because when we love on other people, two things happen. They get set free, you get set free. How many times have we said the more you engage in God's mission, the more you get set free? There is no get better and then I can start doing ministry. There is times when you need to take a break and do this. But I'm saying as a whole, if that was the case, I would be truck driving. We did not meet the church planner MO. You have daddy issues. You've got food issues. Your wife is bipolar. You guys have had affairs in your language. You've had addiction. Oh, great. We'll send you out all over the place. You're qualified. I think the Acts 29 people choked when I told them I wanted to apply. For those of you who know who that is and care. I say this not trying to be stupid. I love you. I love every single one of you. I want to learn how to love you more. I want to make sure that nobody in this room goes without the true love of Christ. Whether you're rebellious or you're a bouncing little lamb. And I want our heart's cry to be that and that alone. It's how we love Jesus and how we love other people. And it starts with people in here. Meet each other's needs. Don't ask me. Do it in your life group. Go just engage them. Go over to their house. Don't leave here any Sunday without looking around this room and engaging somebody. Have it purposely to have people over to your house and love on them. If you know of a mama and her son, or her and her daughters, or a single dad and a mom, engage them. Don't wait for them to engage you. Engage them. Annoy them. I would rather have people say no and those people were too freaky than they never talked to me. Because that is the love of Jesus. And guess what? People are going to leave anyway because they just have hard hearts. But it should not be on us. There was a couple that left the church a few months ago. Ridiculous reasons. Ridiculous reasons. Just dumb, petty things. But in her email to me, because she wouldn't engage me face to face, in her email to me, she had valid points. And I hated that. We had loopholes in our love for her. Would it have mattered in the end? I don't know. I hope so. Probably not. But we represent Jesus to people. Not just Pastor Rob, the entire church represents Jesus to one another. Stand up and pray with me, please. I'm going to do this, and this will, let's bring out the sacrificial lamb and the goat's blood. Just kidding. I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to ask you guys to pray over one another. And then here's the out for you people that are new and that scares the life out of you, is that if you need to run out of here during that prayer, nobody will look. We'll just keep our heads down. But by the way, it's just praying over you. We don't want to burst out spiritual gifts on you and all. We want to pray and just pray over you and pray with you. And you can, if it's two words, if you're not an outside prayer, fine. Just sit there or you can go. But just want you guys to pray over each other because you are the ministry to each other. You understand me? You are the church to each other. Heavenly Father, we just receive your love. Lord, we want to know your love. God, this is not a game. This isn't a joke. We're not just foolish idiots that just believe in something so my kids will have a better life and make good decisions and not kill people. God, we are very aware that we are sinners, Lord Jesus, and we need grace. And you have given us grace. Lord, you have given us the perfect kind of unending love. You're a good, good Father. You're perfect in all of your ways. You are merciful in all of your ways. You're gracious with us over and over and over again. We do not have a deficiency of love coming in. We have the love of the ages. And Lord, God, my prayer for us and myself is that the Holy Spirit would fall on us, that we would just give that love to other people, starting with your church. Lord, I pray for every man and woman in here, Lord, that have a hard time being loved on. Maybe they think in their head they don't even want it. But Lord, we know better. God, I pray that they would just receive your love. They would let other people love them well. That God, they would stop running to toxic relationships and to worry in their medicine or their self-medication, Lord, and they would just expose themselves, their hearts, to receive your love. And they would do that through you, through your Spirit, and they would do that through your church. And God, us as a church, would you please, God, give us supernatural ability, eyes to see and ears to hear, people in our midst that need the love of Jesus. And I know there are a lot of people in here that do that already, but Lord, I want to pray for all of us to do that. God, equip every man and woman in this room to become ambassadors of the love of God in the kingdom. God, we want to be known by love. Just going to ask right now that you can either sit in your chair and just pray. If you need to leave, you can leave, but please do it quietly. But I would just ask that if you guys are bold enough that you would just gather up with somebody next to you and just pray with them. Pray the love of Jesus on them. Tell them you love them in a non-hippie, weird way. Single guys, stay away from the single women, okay? Let's just remember those kind of things. But let's just share the love of Jesus with each other. Tell each other that you're in with each other to the end, and they pray for them. So let's just do that, and that's the end of service.